Okay, good. So we've done a lot of ideas, the first Mishnah, right? And so on, you know. Now, if you apply, what was the Mishnah checklist? Right? So you had what? Central idea, the area of that central idea, the number of statements, what are the statements, right?
Preliminary
ideas.
Memory aid,
yeah. Great. So what's the central idea of this first Mishnah? Right?
So we were actually discussing that, Rabbi Swiss and I.
Good.
And it seems like there's more than just the fact that there's no difference between, it seems to me, there's more than the fact that there's no difference between whether you go in or out. Whether you go from in to out or from out to in.
In the direction of the Hitzor.
Right. Which is what we said last week, that there is a big idea in this Mishnah that since Hitzor is a Malacha Gerua, so it's coming to be Mechadish that.
Yeah.
But it seems, it's arguable, not everybody's probably going to agree, but seems like it's more laying down the yisoid of Haitzah.
The essential conditions.
I don't know what you mean. When we're laying down the yisoid, that is the yisoid of Haitzah. That the direction, which is the initial, which is the destination, is irrelevant in Haitzah. You can go to Rabban to Yochad to Rabban, it's really irrelevant. Right? That's clearly right. What it says.
Right, that's one thing that it says.
Good,
but
okay.
Like you just said, it seems like more importantly is to tell you the essential conditions of Haitzah. Where else is it?
Well,
do
what
we
are
know?
They? What are they?
Akira, Hanacha, Havara, or whatever.
You know, that's
Shinoshos, right.
Shinoshos, well, that's Haitzah.
Right, and then there's Akira and Hanacha also.
But you know what's interesting? Why is that not so clear? Although, let me ask something. Does it say anything about Akira and Hanacha directly in the Mishnah?
Not clearly.
No. It's implied. Or it's assumed. Assumed is better than implied.
If it's not what Mishnah is talking about.
You can't say, you see, you cannot say, even if something is assumed as a preliminary idea, or it's implied, something that's beyond what it says. You know what I'm saying?
He took it from his hand.
It's a logical implication. That cannot be a central idea. A central idea has to be open. You know what I'm saying? Why would Rebbe do that? Why would Rebbe talk about a central idea that's implied or assumed? You know what I'm saying? So, the central idea, therefore, would have to be something which is stated. You see what I'm saying? What you're saying is true, but I would not say that this is a central idea because it's assumed or implied. And I don't believe Rebbe that, unless you show me a Mishnah, well, that's can't get around that. It's not a central idea.
Sometimes Diuk is meant Yiddish, really. Just not in this situation.
It makes no sense. Uh-huh. That a Diuk should be the... A Diuk could be there. I'm not saying no. But if something... The central idea has to be something which is stated. Not which is something which is implied or assumed. Why would Rebbe do that? It doesn't make sense to do that, really.
What was
that?
Malach HaChatzor, the definition of structure.
That's too broad. I mean, the whole five prakim going on, Haitzor. So what do you say about that?
No. If you ask anyone...
It's clearly about Haitzor, in general.
Right.
Right? Yeah, but what about Haitzor?
The distinction between things that are chayib and that are just awesome. Potter awesome?
That's closer. Clearly the Mishnah in general has certain ideas about Haitzor that it wants to present, right? So the first Haitzor, clearly, when it says Shtayim, immediately that means, I forget about the illustrations or the cases, that's Ketzad. That Ketzad is merely going to illustrate what the first statement says, or second statement. The first statement says what? Yetzias HaShavas Shtayim Shehen Arba. And then the Befnim and the Bechotz, we know is redundant, because either Bifnim, you have every case in Bifnim that you have in Bachutz. You know what I'm saying? So we answered why, because it's a Malach Gerua. That's why I wanted to handle from every different aspect. You know? Ketzar is merely the cases, right, that illustrate what the idea is. So the idea, therefore, must be contained where? In the first statement of the Mishnah. So Yitzias Hashem Shtayim 2 means Haitzon Achnasa, which tells us that direction is irrelevant. Correct? And it tells us Shtayim, Shein Arba, that there are Isuri Derabonin connected with this.
So you could say Haitzon extension.
So how could you say the central idea in one sentence?
A tolda is an extension. A rabbinical and xera is an expansion. That's my words. It's different. You have to use two different words. So I use, in other words, you have an of, then you have the extension of that of to include many more mlachas. I use the word extension or derivatives. A tolda is a derivative, but I call it extension. An expansion is when Chachamim say something which really is mutter is asa, it expands isa to melachas which are mutter. My word is expansion. So the Mishnah clearly tells us two things. One, the concept that direction, which is the initial or the end, which is the final, is irrelevant. The main concept is what? Which we realize, Shino Rishus, the main concept is really positional change. But positional change is not relevant unless it also incorporates dimension change, Shino Rishus. You know what I'm saying? Now, the concept of Hakir and Anocho is obviously very critical because we see that some of the implications of this Mishnah are what? And these are what? Assumptions or implications, whatever, right? One of them is Hakir and Anocho, correct? We see that from the Shtayim, Shein Arba, the Arba. You know what I'm saying? We see the Arba, that's the Issa Derabbanan, where there's only Hakir or there's only Anocho, whatever, right? That was clearly one of the assumptions. Another assumption is what? Well, why is it Rabbona?
One person has to.
We see that.
Malacha has to be done by one person.
One person has to do the complete malacha has to be done by one person. The complete malacha must be done by one person, not a half. It means one person has to do a complete malacha. Or, looking at it from the standpoint of the malacha, every malacha must have been done by one person. Completely.
Entirely,
yeah. So that's the concept that the malacha has to be entirely done by a person, one person. The second, well, we don't see that, but...
Why isn't Tanya starting with Hitzor of all the malachas?
Because of malacha geruah. We mentioned that.
Or is it because he's trying to tell us a bigger concept that
what?
The word malacha is... In Hanami, we're saying that it's one person has to do the thing, but it's a sum of... a number of actions. In other words, my normal assumption would be that a malacha would be, I bang a nail in, and I did one action, and that was it. Here we're saying that there's three parts that contribute to make a malacha. In other words, he's giving you a general rule, that the word malacha doesn't mean a singular action, but it can be a sum of parts as long as it fulfills...
Yeah, but why would it start with Hitzor?
Maybe that'll run through all the Shabbos.
Yeah, but why? Your question is why does the Mishnah start with Hitzor?
He's telling us a tremendous call over here. That
yeah, but why should that be first?
Doesn't necessarily mean action. It could be a sum of a number of actions, which will run through the whole Masechta of whatever.
Yeah, but why Hitzor? You can illustrate that with any other malacha.
Does it exist? Say there
must be malachas where. You know, you need to do, have to think about them, but where it involves parts.
It's very distinct.
But I don't feel that would be justification to put a tzor for that chiddush.
That is a main point that he's bringing.
No, yeah, but I would never say that. That's why he starts with a tzor. Yeah, that's clearly a lesson we learned. Why? We don't learn it from the first Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim. We learn from the concept of Arba. You see, because the guy does an Akira, but he doesn't do Hanocha, right? So it's Yisra Drabonon. So we learn the concept of Akira. We learned that one person has to do the whole thing. That we clearly learn. But never even says that you have to do an Akira and Hanocha. That requirement doesn't even say in the Mishnah. What was that?
Yeah.
Well, so is the other one a soul.
Yeah, I don't know if
it doesn't say explicitly. So to me, the central idea is really the concept of Yetzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba.
But, I mean,
that statement, because everything else follows.
And that's
so the Chiddush has to be in the first statement. You know what I'm saying?
So it's two separate ideas.
Yes, one is that the direction, the initial direction is irrelevant.
Right.
You know, Achnasa or Oitzo. And the second thing is that there are Gzeres Rabbonim associated with Oitzo and Achnasa.
Really, but according to the way Mahalch that we're going with, you would think that the first thing you do is define what Malachit is.
You know, you remember the Gemara? Yeah, but don't ever accuse a Mishnah of starting later on when it should have included first ideas. What about Yavamas? Or Ksubas? Right? Or Gittin?
Maybe
some things do start, like Bava Kamma does start with a logical beginning. I'm not saying the others are illogical, but it's not sequential. You know, it just leaves out. Well, the classic, which is interesting to me, you know, like Mom Brochus, Memesite, Kronish, Mabi Arvis?
Tana.
Right? You know, Tana Echakoi. Excuse me. Why? What about Hechakoi? What about all the other Gemaras that there's no Hechakoi? You know? I don't know, it's an interesting, you know, why here? You know, all of a sudden they're bothered by the fact that, excuse me, what do you mean when we read Kriya Shema? We don't even know that there is a Chiyuv to read Kriya Shema at all. First justify the Chiyuv of Kriya Shema, then we'll worry about when. Why are you asking now? What about all the other Gemaras that don't have the first idea? You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying, but what we're trying to do this year is to build a structure here.
The reason why we have to do that is because Rebbe didn't.
Okay, I'm saying, but that's...
So I'm just addressing the fact that you're saying, well, why start with Otsa? How do we even know it's Otsa? Why does the Mishnah start with saying, the Alamates Melachas, which are also doing Shabbos? Right? That's how it should have started.
It's a general question.
A general statement. The Alamates, Yesh, Alamates Melachas, but that begins the second Mishnah of the seventh pair. You know, wow, that's, you know...
And it comes in Agav, the first Mishnah.
Because
it's the Agav of the first Mishnah. The Talichil Katois.
It's not Shabbos.
No, the Talichil Katois.
Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, we don't really know the whole concept of a sequence. Really, you know, because educationally speaking, that's not the sequence. If you don't know the beginning, how could you know the middle or the end? You can't start in the middle of something. Yet most Masechtas do start in the middle. Classic.
You made a statement on one of the shiurim I was listening to.
Yeah.
About how to teach a language.
Ah, that.
Yeah, but you didn't fear advice over there. But there was a better way to teach language than just with a diktuk cipher.
Of course.
And what would that be like? The
I didn't say the one, whatever you listen to.
I was listening to one of the introduction.
I don't know. Unless does the other want me to say? I just because we're doing Shabbos. Yeah, it's up to you. How do you really have to learn language?
What?
Using.
What? Do we say the area yet? The area, so it's all in general.
No, it's that's the central idea.
I have a question.
Okay.
The central idea, this that. It doesn't make a difference whether it goes in or out, whether you're from whose perspective you look at. That is the central idea of the Mishnah, or that's just a statement that the Mishnah says, Agav, that we're talking about.
You're talking about the Bifnim and Bachutz?
Yeah, the Bifnim Bachutz.
That's not a central idea, because that's redundant. Because even if you had only one, like Bifnim, we'd know everything just from that. You don't need the Bachutz, really. The Mishnah repeats itself.
Right.
It talks about the halachas of the man inside, which is exactly the same thing as the halachas of the man outside.
So that's a central idea now?
No, mm-hmm. Not at all.
So what are we saying the two central ideas are?
So the first central idea is that Yetzias HaShabbos has two forms. Hachnosa and Hotzo. And the only difference between them is what was the initial start. You know, Rabban or Yochid. So that's the first concept. That there are two forms of Hotzor, both being equal. Got it?
Yeah,
the second Kiddush is that there are Gzeres Rabbanan, which are expanded from these two. Those you have Hotzor and Achnosa. And there are Gzeres Rabbanan that have a connection to the concept of Hotzor and Achnosa. That's it. And then the rest is merely either superfluous or redundant, which is the Bifnim Machutz, right? The concept of Oni and Balabais, which, by the way, I once asked the question, why does it have to have an Oni and Balabais? I once saw it brought down, which is it's really interesting, because since they have to illustrate the Isid Rabbonans, so you would think maybe the Chazal Mavata by Anoni, because Nebuch the guy is poor. So therefore, so for economic reasons, they suspended the Gzera. Which means that the Oni, even if he makes an Akira, it's Mutter, why? Or it's Mutter, why? Because Nebuch, he needs food. I once read that, and I hold it's a very good svara. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. For economic reasons, you can't suspend the Chazal. The Gzeres Rabbonin cannot be suspended because of economic circumstances. No, it's a chiddush. You know, it's not the main chiddush, but it's certainly an agav, you know?
Even though Chesed Dereisa.
Who?
Chesed is Dereisa.
Yeah, you think with Chesed Dereisa, maybe Mavatl Dereisa Rabbonin. Yeah. So that, I forgot who said that, but I hold it to Gval Gisvara. You know? But anyway, so therefore, the two central ideas, and there are two. One is that there are two forms of Hitzor, which are equal. And the second thing is that there are Xeris Rabbonin, which are expanded from these two forms. That's it. The assumptions of this Mishnah, right, is one, there are Rishuyas, right, we went into that, Rishuyas, or else there's no meaning to Hitzor. Right, that's one assumption, the concept. The second assumption is akirin hanocha, our conditions. And the third assumption is that a malocha has to be completed by one person, and therefore it's put them in atur. It's pata avalosa. Those are the three assumptions, which to me is what the Mishnah says. So we have the central idea, we have the assumptions. In that sense, which are really the preliminary ideas.
Akira Habura Hanukkah also assumption.
I said that.
Why is the third assumption not the actual Chiddush of the Shehin Arba?
Who?
It's not mentioned.
Why is. That's what it's saying, Shehin Arba. The third assumption that has to be done completely by one person.
What I'm saying is very simple. A central idea cannot be an assumption or a. The central idea is always what's stated.
But this is stated. Shehin Arba, because why?
Nowhere does it say you need to make an Akira Hanocha.
It doesn't say those words. That's correct.
It. It's assumed that we know the Akira Hanocha, and if we know it's also Drabon. But it doesn't say anywhere. It doesn't say a word about the one. A Malacha has to be completed by one person, not one word, although that's the Issa Drabon. That's why it's Pata also. Doesn't say a word about Akira Hanocha. Doesn't say a word about Rishus.
It's sort of a deal.
Well, these are assumptions.
Yeah.
Actually, the preliminary ideas, without which you can't even learn the Mishnah.
But I think his disturbed by something. I'm disturbed by. Meaning, if the Mishnah gives you two cases that are different from what that are different from the Raisa cases, or four cases different from four the Raisa cases,
yeah.
It's very clear that what it tells you explicitly is that the difference between if you do it you. If one person does it all, or if two people do it. Meaning the illustrations are what the Mishnah is telling us, no?
Yeah, but that's not the central idea.
Why does
we're talking about, what is the idea that Rebbe really wants to hammer through?
I understand it's not the central, but the assumption, there's a difference between a central idea and assumptions.
Yeah,
assumptions,
oh yeah,
means that there's something in the middle, right?
Yeah.
The central idea, there's agav ideas, and then there's assumptions.
It's what it's saying in itself as opposed to...
Saying in itself, agav is like saying clearly in the Mishnah. And the question that we have is that maybe that the Mishnah is telling us clearly by bringing different cases to illustrate the point that if one person doesn't do the whole thing, it becomes only the Rabbanan. Meaning, is that an assumption or is that said agav in the Mishnah?
It's an assumption that we know. That's why there is
assumption that we already know it.
You know these.
Where do we know it from?
That's a very good question. We don't know it from anywhere in the Mishnah. In this Mishnah.
No, where do we know from in any Mishnah?
You have to learn. Later on, there will be statements that, you know.
That's where the Gemara is.
Well, the Gemara certainly can bring down the Tosefta and so on, yeah.
No, the Gemara brings the
Tosefta. That wasn't the purpose of the Mishnah.
No. Look, let's face it. You know, Rebbe had a tough job. He read the whole Torah Shabbat Peh in 4,192 paragraphs. Lot, you know.
But if you have to do the whole thing yourself,
that's the difference.
Parts of the action, the sum of the whole.
A preliminary or assumed cannot be a central idea.
No, but is that also one of the assumed?
Maybe.
Parts of the preliminary ideas of this mission.
Yeah,
that, I can get that separate.
That's why I said there are three ideas, unless I'm missing one. There are three assumed preliminary ideas. One is that the melacha has to have an akir and anocha. That's conditional, essential condition. And we would discuss why, because you need a displacement. You know what I'm saying? You need a positional displacement as well as a positional change. You have to be oikud because fixed coordinates is what makes it into Shusayochid. And when it's Hanocha, it's fixed coordinates. That's what makes it reside in the Rishus. So the essential conditions are Kina Nocha. So that's preliminary. You know what I'm saying? The second preliminary is that a Malocha has to be done completely by one person. That's the second, right? And the third idea is the concept of Rishus, which it doesn't say. I mean, it says, you know, Bachutz Bifnim. So, you know, Bachutz Bifnim is the concept of Rishus in that sense. But, you know, the whole concept of Rishus and so on. So, those seem to be the two central ideas, you know. What's the area of this? Exactly. The Melacha Vitzor. This is the beginning of the expounding of the halachas of Eitzor. Now, if we're going to write a chart, right? Remember the chart ideas? How many structures did we create? See, this is the real beauty of all this.
The checklist.
One was the activity model,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then the melacha structure,
right?
So what you do, and this is the really way this is the payoff, you know, you begin to insert it. Remember what the melacha structure checklist. Well, actually, the melacha checklist, the list. How many were there? Remember that?
Yes.
8 or 11.
Eleven.
I have it. In.
You have 11?
Yeah. Oh, melacha, no, I'm sorry. That's activity.
No, that's the activity model. Yeah.
The melacha, I don't have it.
How many melacha checklists? Remember what they were?
Yeah.
See, this is when you begin. See, what let me tell you something. What is your objective ultimately? To learn piecemeal? No. It's ultimately to have a piece of paper that's large, right? And to put on top of it, Hoitzor. And then, there are 8 things you want to know about Hoitzor. And based on each halacha of the Mishnah, the central idea, which is really becomes a category, and so on, you begin to fill this in. And when you finish, you're going to have a paper that is the answer to every one of these 8 ideas, but it's more than that. You're going to have to create that structure in such a way where it connects in a fundamental way. That's what you need to do. So you could look at that checklist in 5 minutes and know everything in it all. And that's the ability to structure information. You see.
What should connect? All the different toldos, let's say? Like, what do you
mean? No. Well, first let's go through the checklist. But it's not enough just to answer the information of the checklist. That's fine. But what you really want to do is create a diagram that has the whole Hitzor on it, exactly what's called from the bottom up. The basis, the basic ideas, the foundation, and then to begin to go into the details as they are outgrowths of fundamental categories in one diagram. And you see the whole thing as a beautiful relationship structure. That's the payoff, ultimately. But in order to do that, you need to fill in those eight ideas. And in order to fill in those eight ideas, you need to go through all the Mishnahs that have all the halachas. And then some. You know? I maintain that today's Mishnahs, Kahati, Art Scroll, Siyata Deshmaya, Jochen Boyers, that they have so much information that you can do it even without Gemara. That doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom you shouldn't learn Gemara, don't get me wrong. But there is so much finalized information in these Perushim, you know, that is, it's an abundance of information that you can actually create this just from Mishnahs. In the olden days, you couldn't do that. You're stuck. That's why many people really couldn't learn Mishnah. It was too sparse. Wasn't enough information. It's too brief. But today there's so much good stuff out there, Mephoshim, that deal with so much information, you know, that you could do it.
Okay, so our checklist is...
What do we have? Well, the first idea was what? One.
What are they?
Melachos.
The melachos, meaning to spell out the melacha.
Yeah, all the others. What are they? One. The major categories, right? Two.
Origin.
What's the origin of this in the Mishkan? Three.
Forbidden key point.
Who?
Forbidden key point.
The forbidden key point of the melacha. Exactly. And, I don't know if I mentioned that, the forbidden key point, in what category of the activity model is it located?
What? She didn't mention.
I didn't mention.
Nachamal.
But it's very, very important.
It has to be connected. It's always connected.
No, which category in the activity model does that key point belong? Is it the effect? Is it an instrument? Is it the object? Like, where does it belong? That's critical. Because that helps you differentiate that the other categories are not the key point. They're just what? Remember the words I used?
Conditions.
Conditions that make it sufficient. Remember, a melacha has to be valid, which means it has to have the forbidden key point, and has to be sufficient, has to fulfill all the conditions. It's called sufficiency, right? So we have that, right? So that's number what? Three?
Bishul is where this was illustrated.
Clearly.
Home run.
Yeah. Bishul, the Issa Bishul is not an effect.
Finished.
It's an instrument.
This takes 10 minutes just because you're going to chalash and we're going to have to revive you. For real, this is...
Well, when was it?
Oh, it was Friday night.
It was on Shabbos, bro?
Friday night.
Oh, this was Friday night?
Yeah. A few weeks ago.
Bishul, you hit it. Bishul.
You cannot have anything Friday night.
This was before this started.
No,
that
before we
meeting
started
this title.
That, okay. Yeah.
That meeting started this title.
So we have what? We have the list of others,
origin,
which is the major categories. Then we have the origin of each one of these. Where in the Mishkan were they? Because each one was, at what part of the construction of the Mishkan do you have these activities? That's number two. Number three is the forbidden key point, A, and B, where is it located? Which part of the activity model is it located in?
Yeah. It's part of the key point.
Yeah. Three, right?
Four, secondary key point.
Four is a list of the derivatives, or the others, a list. That's four. Five, remember I said that there are secondary key points. Because, for instance, Zoraya, there are many different one-eye ways of being Zoraya. One is to take the growth medium into the growth object into the growth medium. Another one is to add nutrients. Another one is to kill competitors. Weeding. There are many different ways to enhance growth. So you can actually arrange all the toldos around the different ways. So those are called secondary key points.
But isn't key point only one to enhance growth?
Yes, that's
so
called the primary.
Oh, secondary key points, but they're more specific.
That there are many ways, methods of doing the primary.
Oh.
Enhancing growth. If I kill competitors, if I remove weeds, what happens? There's more nutrients for the rest of the plant, so that enhances growth. Right? But I didn't take a seed and put it in the ground. It's a different way.
So what's the difference?
You know what I'm saying? If I water the ground, how did I enhance growth? I added nutrients and so on. So there are many ways to arrive. So those are called secondary key points, and you can arrange all the tildes around those secondaries.
So
got it?
So
what's that called? This had a certain value. Predictive value.
Predictive value?
What was it? A fancy word.
Oh, yeah, predictive value, yeah. From that, once you know the secondary key points, you can actually then predict, not predict so much, you can diagnose. If somebody comes over to you with a, I hate to use those kind of modern words, but listen, I tell you, English is a beautiful language. It has so many words that, which are clear and precise, you know. You can diagnose. Somebody comes over to you and says, you know, I want to, I got a plant here, and can I open the shade or the curtains? You open the curtains, what happens? Sun comes in. So can I do that? You know, so what does this have to do with enhancing growth? Oh, but if you remember, supplying nutrients to the plant object will enhance growth. So it could be awesome. You know what I'm saying? What?
Is that
awesome? Well, I'm just saying, but clearly it's a secondary key point of how you enhance growth. You see? That's how you do it. You need to discover the secondary key points, because that's how you diagnose all cases.
The primary key point is inserting a growth object into the
growth.
I mean, not the key point.
What is the of?
Primary?
What is the of?
No,
the
zorea is an effect. That's where it, right? And what it is to promote or enhance growth.
So every of is an effect?
No. Every of has a primary key point. Many of them have secondary key points.
And the secondary key points are going to be what? Totals, or are going to be part of the...
No, the secondary key point is really different forms of the primary.
So what
different
makes
forms.
One... What makes one the primary and the other one different forms?
Because you don't look at the individual's key point secondary. You look at the common denominator.
Correct.
The common denominator is always the primary.
Well, what did we say the three different
got it?
Secondary key points were? What was the example?
Which one?
The three different key points are examples.
Zorea?
Yeah.
Well, one is to take the growth object and place it into the medium from which it grows. That's called planting.
That's
sowing,
Zorea,
right? What?
They're older.
Okay.
Yeah, they're older, right? That's, you know, and therefore, obviously, you put it in the ground, it grows. Another way is to give nutrients. You water the plant. You allow sunlight. This is all the nutrients, and that will also enhance growth. Right? That's a second way of enhancing growth, promoting growth. A third way is to kill off competitors, weeding or pruning. When you prune a branch, what are you really doing? You're taking away this, so now there's more food left over for the rest of the branches. So you're killing off competitors. You know what I'm saying? Now, competitors could be in the plant itself, or they could be external, like weeds. Weeds are, pruning is competitors, which are part of the growth object. Weeding are competitors, which are external to the growth object. But it's the same concept. So that's a third way. A fourth way, you smoke a tree and you kill all the bugs. Yishama brings that down as a toldo.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Secondary effect,
or secondary.
Told.
Yeah, no, they're not told. We don't know told is it. We're up to secondary key points. Why? Because killing bugs means that what? Here the concept is what? What is the concept?
Competitors.
No, they're not competitors. No.
Oh, they're destroyers. Sir.
They're destroyers. So therefore, when you kill the destroyer, what have you done?
Give him more life to the tree.
No, we need a word. We need a good word for this. If there are bugs on a tree, and there are many bugs on trees, you know, and some of them are really bad, beetles, a lot of stuff out there, it's, you know, and you kill them by smoking the tree, that's a toldo. It's called ma'ashen. Shaman comes down.
You prevent destruction.
You prevent, so if you prevent destruction, what do you do?
I'm not sure if it's in the Quran, it's in the really growth.
Protect.
Well, what have you done?
You're allowing it to grow without
you secure
destroyed.
You secure growth.
You've preserved.
Or preserve it. Yeah, preservation.
You preserve the growth object.
Is this enhancement through the tool?
So therefore, what happens? That's interesting. So we have a case where you don't enhance growth, you preserve growth.
Oh, so that's the borderline. Maybe yes, maybe not.
So then you realize that, wait a minute, maybe promoting growth isn't the end all.
Maybe
it's more than that. It's to sustain or maintain life.
Whether enhancing or not.
Why? What was that?
Whether enhancing or not.
Maybe you don't have to enhance it. You need to sustain it.
That's a question of key points. What's a key point, really?
Yeah, but when you look at that ma'ashen, you begin to see, wait a minute, you're not enhancing growth in a certain sense. You're allowing it to grow. So maybe allowing it to grow, because it's not dying, so, by allowing it to grow, that's an enhancement of growth. You see, so you're allowing, by removing the predators, you're allowing growth to occur, so that enhances growth. If not, no growth. So it still is enhancing growth. Because it's going to grow. Yeah. It's not merely preserving life. It's enhancing growth. You see, so even ma'ashe now...
Weeding doesn't have an effect immediately.
Well, weeding is the negative, they got the nutrients.
Right.
Everything else is grabbing all the nutrients from the ground. You know? So in a certain sense, if you weed, you know what I'm saying? So then this thing could grow because it has nutrients now. Yeah, so it is also enhancing growth. Right.
Yeah, but the same idea, yeah. Totally. It's a common denominator.
No, there is a common denominator. Here you are enhancing growth.
I'm not sure if it's the same. It's subtle.
So what's a tolda? I'm sorry.
Who? You have to get the list.
What is the definition of tolda?
A tolda is an activity that will include one of these key points.
Yeah, but so the of.
But it doesn't necessarily. The thing is that there are many forms of enhancing growth.
So some of them are going to be part of the of.
An av is not necessarily an activity. That's the point. An av is a concept. Sometimes.
An av is
an activity.
An av is an activity, right?
That illustrates the key point.
So let's take.
The yichus of an av.
Yeah.
Is not that it's more special than the tolda. No. It illustrates
it
what's called. That's its origin. No. The essence of the av is that it teaches us. It's a binyan of, really. It's a binyan of. It teaches us, right, what did the Torah asa? So it illustrates it.
Oh, just a specific case for that.
Yes. And because of that, then we realize that it's not the of that's critical, it's the key point that's critical. And then all the Torah does, any activity that has manifest that key point becomes what's called an extension.
So a tolda is only a tolda because it wasn't it wasn't chosen as the example.
Yes, it's correct. Yeah,
it's on the same level.
So that's really an argument. What told us in the Mishkan too, etc. You know that in the beginning of Bava Kama has that hachdev b'mishkan. You know, without getting into that and all that, but that's fundamentally what a tolda is, idea wise, conceptually. So what do we have? We have the list of others, its origins, its forbidden, its primary forbidden key points, the secondary key points, the list of toldas, and then the cluster of toldas around those secondaries.
Cluster?
At the sixth point?
Yeah.
The sixth is?
Because it could be all four malachas that are connected to seeding. There could be three malachas, which are all, and they're all toldas. Which are connected to
mean
nutrients.
Just category of toldos, that's what you mean.
It's toldos clustered around the secondary key point.
Okay.
Because that's really what the forms are.
Yeah.
Cluster
see?
Of toldos around.
It's a cluster of whatever activities are around that particular forbidden key point.
That's just meaning what is the toldos of this art?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, but the toldos itself, it's not just a list, there's a structure to it. What's the structure?
Based on secondary key points.
The secondary key points.
Yeah, they categorize there.
Yeah, they group the toldas, because each tolda will do one of the forms.
Yeah.
So you can actually cluster, and this gives incredible diagnostic value, because that's how you know what's us and what's mutter. It's very clear, you know? Then after that, right, you have the essential conditions. And there are four types of conditions. There is Torah conditions, Shabbos conditions, the category conditions, which is the whole of all the tolders, and the individual malacha conditions, if there are any. There you are. Four different types of conditions that must be met in order for this a person committing this act.
You mean like Melechas Machshavos is?
Well, Melechas Machshavos gives a whole slew of what? Of Shabbos conditions.
It's like upper level conditions.
Well, there's Torah, there's conditions which is true of Kol HaTorah Kula.
Right.
There's conditions which is true of every Melech and Shabbos. Then there's a condition which are necessary only for that category.
You mean like Mesasik is Kol HaTorah Kula, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Melechas Machshavos, that's already Melech
HaShabbos. That's only Shabbos conditions, exactly.
Yeah.
Then there's the category condition. Stuff. Yeah, and then there's the category condition.
It's only based on a certain key point.
It's only true of that particular class, which, let's say, is Zareah. Then there's the individual melocha in that class, one of the 40 condition of that. So there are four different types of conditions.
It's like levels, not really types, levels, maybe.
And you could look at them levels, yeah, in a sense, but I there are four different kinds of conditions, types, and so on, in order for a person to be culpable. Because in order to be culpable for doing malacha, you need to have done the forbidden key point.
Shouldn't we call it
that's validity, that it's valid, and you have to be sufficient. You have to have done all the conditions.
Shouldn't we call
all
it four? Just for sake of precision, like a scope of a condition.
Who?
Not like a scope.
Who?
Scope.
What scope?
The scope.
What
yeah,
about
I mean,
it?
Doesn't it feel better? I mean, this word, just to be precise, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
The scope?
Yeah, just better than type, more precise than type or kind. Or even level. I mean, the scope.
Well, the scope simply means the totality.
Right.
But I want to say that there are four different types within the concept called the essential conditions.
Okay.
So you have that. Then you have the expansions, the rabbinical expansions, and I mentioned that there are three categories of that, three reasons for that.
Right.
Habitual.
Well, first of all, the easiest one is dimyon.
Resemblance.
Then you have habitual antecedents. Because this will lead to
that's a fancy word.
Yeah, listen, I've been guilty of that kind of stuff. You know. And then the third one is it violates the spirit of Shabbos.
That's pretty vague.
It violates the spirit of Shabbos. It's called Uvdin Dechor. Dabedova. It violates the spirit of who?
Tichamuruba.
Tichamuruba, exactly. Yeah.
What was the second one?
Habitual antecedent.
That was the first?
No, Dimyon was the first.
How do you say
Dema?
Dema, it's a resemblance.
Now we're going to start Hitzor in this form.
So now, this is the critical checklist of the totality of all the Melachos of Shabbos.
Now you haven't finished.
On the essential conditions, before we get to the actual conditions of Torah conditions, Shabbos, and class conditions, I think first there was Is it valid and sufficient?
Is it valid, which means are you doing the key point?
Are you doing the key point?
And is it sufficient, means are you doing fulfilling all the conditions?
And in all
then
the conditions,
five.
Right.
Then you're fine.
So all the conditions, you have to look at the four classes.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And
exactly.
If it's Melechas Machshavos, meaning if it's.
Melechas Machshavos are those conditions which are unique to Shabbos.
Okay.
That is the Melacha checklist. But it beautifully clarifies everything you need to do. You know, and you do this for each melacha and for each tolda. All 1,560 melachas, because that's how many melachas there are. I mean, not really, because we don't know many of them. But theoretically, there's 1,560 melachas, right?
As you mean including toldas?
What?
Including toldas.
Yeah, including everything. Yeah, and I'm not even talking about the thousands of. Zeres to Rabbana.
So how many of this did we get in this Mishra so far? Did we just pick a key point yet, or did we pass that?
Well, we did a key point. What's the key point?
Transfer Rishus.
Exactly.
Shina Rishus.
We got some essential conditions.
Yes, yeah.
Kira Anocha, one guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good, yeah, you're doing good. You're doing going back, yeah. So we have a central idea of this Mishnah. Remember, first you got to analyze the Mishnah.
Which is a central key point.
We have the area which is called Hitzor. We have the number of statements, and you can add them up. How many statements are there? That's memory. And then what are the statements? Again, you just look at that, right? You know what I'm saying? And then you have the preliminary ideas, which I mentioned, there are three of them, right? And then you have the memory aid. We choose a word for the central idea. What would you like to choose?
Let's
central idea. Both parts of the central idea, of course.
What was that?
Both parts of the central idea, but we wouldn't leave one out.
Yes.
The Simnoch.
Who?
The Simnoch, like by the end of the parasha, we have to now find the Simon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that a lot of that is arbitrary. Simon. You know, what I may choose may be different than you may choose. But it's really what helps me, my mind, remember this. You know what I'm saying? So what's a good mnemonic or memory aid for this?
Something could also encompass the fact that it's the first Mishnah of the first parak in Shabbat.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when I think of this memory is, okay, Mishnah number one of number one, central idea is...
These two Nakudas.
Right.
I would call it directionless expansion.
Yeah, well, I may have chosen... I want to tell you something. Rather than... What I like to do... Many times, I personally like to do, there are different words you could choose. You could choose the word Hitzor, but to me that's too broad.
You prefer English terms?
Only English. No. I use also Russian Kurdish. No. Depends. You know.
No, but English, they sound fancy. It's much easier to
be
more
precise. I mean, you walk over to get first mission, the first prayer of Shabbos is.
You know, I hope one thing, when you guys walk away, to appreciate what language does. A lot of guys don't. They don't realize that facility with language helps thinking. Without that, you're groping for words. Like but English has the vocabulary. You could find a Hebrew equivalent, fine, do that, great. But I wouldn't use the word hoitzor, it's too general. I'd rather zero in. I may zero in on the word, you know, just the hoitzor forms. And that'll jog my mind to say, oh, achnos and hoitzor. See, what I always like to do is generalize, rather than be specific. So if I say hoitzor forms one, that's one idea, right? You know what I'm saying? And then chatzi melocha would be the second idea, because that's really what you're doing. That's why it's, you know what I'm saying? That's why it's mutter min ha-Torah. That's why it's potter, aval osa. It's a chatzi melocha. So the fact that it's chatzi, that's why it's potter. But the fact that it's still a melocha, that's why it is osa. So that may jog my mind. You know, chatzi melocha, I would say, let's see, chatzi melocha, you know, min ha-banan, finished, that's all. And immediately I would recall, you know, well, the Oni, and so on. Then if I want to enumerate, I could say, you know, Oni Baal Bias. I mean, it depends, I play around with it. But all you need is a couple of words to get you remembering the whole Mishnah. Once, the key is to abstract the Mishnah. It's so clear that you only have a couple of ideas, really. You know, a lot of guys are going to have to repeat the whole Mishnah word for word. That's the only way he'll remember it. You don't need to do that. That'll come later on. The key is to summarize the Mishnah so clearly that all you have is a 4 or 5 words. That's the whole Mishnah. How long does it take to cause a 4 or 5 words? Nothing. I haven't even told you the memory system. But it's nothing.
You should, before going to Eretz Yisrael, you should actually. If I may say.
Memory system?
Of course. How can you go to Eretz Yisrael without us pointing memory system?
You'd be surprised. No, just... Maybe next week. How's that sound?
You're going to be here next week?
Yes, you'll be here.
Yeah, oh, no, what am I talking about?
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yes.
Because I leave Sunday.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe Wednesday, I'll give you the memory system.
Deal.
How's that sound?
8:30 on the button.
But I want to tell you the power of this system, if you do it.
Anybody who comes with a checklist printed, you'll review it.
A checklist.
I mean, the checklist we talk about.
Checklist.
Mishnah checklist.
Yeah.
Well, he printed it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll give you the memory system. Okay. It's
deal.
It's very powerful.
It'll enable you to say the mile of it before you got interrupted.
The what?
You want to say the mile of it before you interrupt. You want to tell us the power of it.
The power of it is you can know the entire Mishnayos backwards and forwards by
heart.
By heart.
Now, what about all the other statements that we had, the Agav statements that we had in the Mishnah, like Ani and the Ashir, because what's called again? Tell me that Mishnah.
This, by the way, this Mishnah happens to be long. Most Mishnah is not this long. It's I've got a whole bunch of statements. Just count the statements. You know what I'm saying? So actually, you would remember it. You can either designate a word based on how many statements there are. So for every statement, there's a word that will remind you. Yeah, you could do that. You know, how many words can there be? You know, how many statements are there? Maybe 7, 8. You can have 8 different words, and there you are.
Or 8-letter word, yeah.
Yeah, take you 10 seconds to go through that. Very quick. Once you know it, it's incredible how quick you go through a Mishnah.
No, but meaning, when we mentioned the preliminary information and the statements of the Mishnah, we only mentioned very few statements. There are a lot more statements here in the Mishnah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I got statements.
Exactly, yeah. So what I would have done, I would say the central idea, you know, the two central ideas, right?
Okay.
And then I would of course count the statements.
At least every single.
Yes, because you need to delineate.
We didn't do it,
yeah.
Really, but
we didn't do it. Yeah. You know, we can do it next week, but
it's
whatever. And then to assign a word or two words to each statement. Because the speed doesn't make a difference.
Guys, homework here.
It's not going to stop you if you have 5 words or 10 words.
Guys, don't miss the homework.
When you see what the memory system is, it doesn't make a difference how many words there are. The speed is incredible if you know what you're doing. So I would have assigned a word or two words for every single statement in the Mishnah.
There's no cliff. There's no cliff?
There's no what?
We didn't fall off the cliff.
You missed the homework. To list every single statement of Mishnah, to assign 1 or 2 words to each statement. All the statements delineated.
What did you think?
So Wednesday, I'm going to
take a lot of statements.
Right. Mishnah. Well, right. People in America, you
what was that?
Welcome.
Yeah, we learned.
Oh, good.
We
okay, great.
I started also with Finkelstein and Chavez learning Gemara. Unbelievable. Marcus.
Are you taking